Hi, this is Megan Michelson with Mary Flo Ridley, and this is the Birds and Bees Podcast. Our hope is to equip and empower parents as we tackle this taboo topic together. Something we hear a lot when we bring up the topic of birds and bees is fear. We are so afraid of this topic, and parents everywhere are dreading this topic, they want to avoid this topic, and they are afraid of this topic. So today, Mary Flo and I are going to walk through the most common fears that parents have when this topic is brought up. We have heard lots of them, and typically we hear the same ones over and over again. So today, our hope is to kick fear in the rear, and we are going to hold your hand through this and answer these thoughts or fears that parents have that make us hesitant or make us want to avoid this topic. And hopefully you can get past that and we can move on and we can decide to not be afraid. And you can feel confident and excited, or at least ready, to have these conversations. So Mary Flo, let's start with some of the questions that we get, or fears that parents have, and we will try to debunk all these fears today.
Exactly. So hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll realize that some of the things you're afraid of that are paralyzing you, that are keeping you from talking to your kids about this topic, really you can see through them. You can see that they're just sort of getting in your way from an important and bigger thing, which is having these conversations about sex with your children and starting with just the easy baby steps and building your confidence so that those fears do evaporate. You have to remember that this topic with your children is no longer about you or your past or even your pain or maybe even some of the regrets that you might have. This isn't about you anymore. This is really stopping and considering what's really best for my children and their future, not me and my past. So with that in mind, we're just going to look at this big bundle of scary fears and try to put you at ease. One of the things that we hear when people say, I'm afraid, they say, I'm afraid that my little child won't be innocent anymore. I'm afraid that I'm going to increase their curiosity about sexuality. I'm afraid that if I just stay quiet and don't say anything, that's really the best way to keep them innocent. If I don't talk about it, then they won't think about it, and I feel more comfortable with that. But actually, what we'd like to say is that we don't want to associate or equate. What we don't want to do is equate innocence with ignorance. If our children know nothing about sex or know nothing about their body parts or how babies are born or how babies are made or any of those things, if that's all in the dark for them, then actually you're leaving your child wide open to whatever the next person has to say about it, or someone at school, or what they might come across on the internet. So you are kind of leaving them in the lurch, and they will just be filled with other people's ideas. And we know we live in a sex-saturated society, so someone is willing to share with them. And what we want to do with the birds and the bees is to help you be that confident person in their life who is talking, is speaking into them. So finding your voice and sharing with your own children on this very important topic is actually protecting their innocence. I know that sounds kind of backwards, but if you think about it, you are really laying a foundation of your family's values and basic biology. You're just moving towards them with this information in a positive way, in a tone that you decide. And doing that is actually protecting your child's innocence. So the fear of, I'm going to destroy my child's innocence if I start addressing these topics, is really not, in our opinion, not a valid fear to keep you from talking to your children. In fact, it's the opposite of what we need to be doing.
And I think too, you know, a lot of times parents say, well, if I explain what sex is, will it like awaken this mm-hmm. sexuality side of my child? And something that's important to remember, and I even like tell myself this with my own kids, is to us as adults, the information that we are sharing with our kids is coming out of our brains, and we are post-pubescent hormonal beings. And so we say these words and we explain these sayings, and it comes with like this whoosh of baggage, right? Like experiences we've had, things we've seen or heard, or things that have, you know, made us feel a certain way, or things that we were taught. And we're hormonally charged beings. We are sexual beings. That's not a bad thing. But we are explaining that to our young child, our prepubescent child.
Right.
So we are not awakening this sexual season for them. We are just sharing information that they, as prepubescent kids, are receiving at face value. They are not getting the sensual side of things because their brains are not developed in that way yet. So it comes out of our mouths in this sensual, or our brains, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so sensual. Ooh, seems so heavy. But they're receiving that as fact. Now they might think, gross, but they're not thinking of like, ooh, cool. It's not connecting in that way for them because they're not developed in that way yet.
And we're really just sharing the basic facts. We're really not going into sensual topics so much as we're telling them the facts of how all of this takes place.
Right.
And so they're curious. They want to know, why if I turn on the light switch, does the light come on? How does electricity work? They want to know, how does that baby get out of there? You would explain it in the same tone, a real matter-of-fact way, and not in a sensual way, and not in a dark way, but with a lot of light.
Okay, another question or another fear we hear a lot is, I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. Mm. And so often, I think we can't shake this old way of doing things, as you have one shot, right? We have this big pressure that, okay, I don't want to mess this up, and so I'm just paralyzed by fear that I'm going to say the wrong thing, and so I'm just not going to say anything at all. And be gone. That is not how we want you to feel, because this is not going to be a one-time thing. Much to your dismay, you will get to talk to your kids about this multiple times, but that actually should be a freeing piece of information for you, because it's okay if you mess it up, because you will go back, circle back. That is something we say all the time in our course and online on Instagram, is to give parents permission that if you mess up, which we all will at some point, we will all say something and be like, oh, that is not
exactly
how I wanted to say. Like, why did I say that? Or that's like exactly what I'm not supposed to say, or however you react. So the fear of saying the wrong thing should not hold you back, because you have every, you know, we say this too, is we want to be purposeful parents. We will not be perfect parents. So if you do say the wrong thing, let's say your fear happens and you mess up and you say something and you think, why did I say that? Circle back, go back to your child at bedtime that night, or when you're taking him to school the next day, and say, honey, earlier, you know, yesterday you asked that really great question, and I'll be honest, I totally messed it up, and mom got kind of nervous, so I'm going to start over.
And they will let you do that.
Yeah, they're not going to like kick you out. So the fear of saying the wrong thing, put it behind you, because you can circle back and correct yourself, and you are going to have multiple opportunities to layer on these conversations. So you don't do it perfectly, that's okay. You know, a few months down the line, or whenever the topic comes back up again, layer it again and try again. I think we have a lot of pressure with this false idea that we have one opportunity to do this, and that is not true. So,
and also, sometimes you may look back and go, you know, I did explain birth, but I didn't give very many details. So I would like to circle back and just add information. Or maybe you circle back and say, you know, I feel like what your takeaway from that conversation might have been this, but I am meant for it to be that. So can we go over this again? Because I just don't feel like I was explaining myself very well. Any of those things are options that you can just go back to your child and say, can we try this again? And they will be perfectly fine with that. In fact, I think that's a good model for them to see you do that, right? Because mm-hmm. you want them to circle back and say, Mom, I told you this, but I didn't tell you all of this. Or Mom, I think I understand. Would you explain that to me again? And you know what? The other day, there was a mom, and she said, I thought I had explained all of this to my children. In fact, I can tell you exactly the day on the calendar when I told them all of this. And when I asked them if they remembered exactly how a baby is made, they could not remember. So sometimes they don't even process what you're telling them at the time. So you've got to circle back and be sure that they remember.
Oh yeah. What was like a very monumental moment mm-hmm. in your motherhood, they could likely forget.
Yes.
So don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. What other fears do we hear a lot of?
Well, a lot of times parents are like, I don't mind telling my child, but I don't want my child to go next door and tell our very good friends that we hang out with all the time, or to share this at school, or to, you know, announce it on the soccer team. So that's a fear that will hold you back, right?
Yes.
So you think, how can I share with my child but be assured that they won't share it with anyone else? And okay, on one hand, you can't be 100% sure. But on the other hand, you can kind of share something else with them. You can tell them, sweetheart, I'm so glad we got to have this conversation, but what we just shared is a private family conversation. And these conversations are between parents and their children, not to be shared with other children. And really, mommy and daddy aren't really talking about this with other grown-ups. This is within our family that we talk about this. So it would not be appropriate for you to go next door to the soccer team, to, you know, to your classroom, and share this information, because other mommies and daddies, they get to decide when their children will hear how babies are made or how babies are born. And so it's not your job to do that. Now, after you've said that, you also may think, but I know my child, and this one, they're just going to have a really hard time with that. In that case, maybe you send a quick text to your teacher and say, we had an important conversation last night. He now knows where babies come from. If you see him whispering on the playground with everybody, you might want to step in to the conversation. He's been told that this is private and that not to share. So you may want to just hedge your bets a little bit, or go next door and tell your neighbor, we now know this. And you know how those, you know, two girls, they just share everything. So I've told her not to tell, but you know how she is. So basically, you have 24 hours to tell your own child because she has all the facts. But don't let that stop you from talking to your child, right?
Right. And ultimately, our hope is to give parents the privilege and opportunity to have the first impression. And so that's not a bad thing. Again, you can set clear boundaries with your kids. Hey, this is not for you to tell your friends. And in a way, we kind of sometimes relate it to like the Santa Claus conversation. You know, that's something that our kids will know at some point. And you do not want to be that kid who goes to school and announces to the whole classroom, my mom told me, you know, so you don't want that. But that doesn't mean what you told your child was wrong. And it doesn't mean what, you know, having that conversation, you should not have that conversation. So you should handle the conversation within your own family and then be very clear with your children. Hey, this is something that we can talk about. You are more than welcome to ask me questions, ask dad questions. We will always, you know, be open to talking with you. But, you know, all your friends' parents, they really, really want to talk to their own kids. So it's not your job. So set clear boundaries. Okay, another fear we get a lot is that I am so afraid of the technology and pornography and the sex-saturated culture. And I think as a parent, that is something I get. It is, we can look, you know, especially I have young kids. And so it is just like on the horizon. We are not currently navigating cell phone usage and all that stuff, which I am grateful that we're not there yet, but I'm looking ahead and it does feel overwhelming. Okay. How are we going to navigate this? And it just seems so overwhelming. And the amount of, access to pornography and all that information is so dark and daunting that it makes me just kind of want to shut down. And it just, it's so dark that it's overwhelming. And again, fear is not a place that we want a parent out of. So I think it's important to have the information. I'll try to put a link in our show notes if I could be so techie, figure that out. I'll try to put a link in our show notes. That sounds so profesh. To our website, a page that we have on our website that has all these statistics that are scary. So you've been warned, but that is not where we want you to end, right? We don't want fear to be where we stop. I think it's with any topic that is so dark, I think it's our job as parents to come in the room and turn the lights on. And what that can look like is just having conversations. So talking to our kids, or A, being aware as ourselves as parents, husbands and wives, hey, did you know this? Have you seen these statistics? What are some ways we could protect that? You know, looking for information of asking other parents in the neighborhood, hey, you have a 12-year-old, you're a step ahead of me. What are some guidelines that you have for cell phone usage, or what's your technology, you know, strategies and all those things. And then ways to talk to our kids when they are young about good pictures and bad pictures. If you see something, you know, we never want to look at other people's private parts. So if you see a picture like that, come and tell me. If you see something like that, you are not a bad person, but here's the plan. So just to turn the lights on in that dark conversation, that this is not a secret thing. This is not secret. This is not something that we want to be ashamed of saying. this is out there, and here's what we're going to protect you with, and here's the plan if something happens. So I think it is normal to be fearful of this tech-saturated culture, this sex-saturated culture, but again, that should be a healthy motivator to have these conversations. What we don't want is this to be fearful and we decide to be silent, because that is essentially waving a white flag and saying, this makes me too uncomfortable, I'm too nervous, so just ask your friends, or you're kind of just giving up in a way, and that is not where we want you to stop. So it is okay to be afraid of that, because it is scary, but that could be a motivator to use your voice, because there are loud voices that our kids will hear, and we as parents want to be one of those voices.
Right. And even at an early age, when you're not really engaged with much technology, it's always good to even model caution about caution about technology. Like even when you're changing the channels, maybe you're watching something, maybe YouTube is on, maybe, you know, there's something there. You know, we always, all of us have to be careful with the next thing that's going to be coming up. So I just want to, I want to give parents permission to say, sometimes we have to be very careful with technology. I know we have laptops in the house or iPads or phones, but there's something that is very good about them, but there can be dangerous things there too. So let's always be careful with them.
And these conversations that are not like, turn that off, what was that? Mm-hmm. You know, like, that is fearful and scary, and kids kind of pull back and don't want to share things with you. So just to be mindful, like what Mary Flo said, like YouTube, I know we have talked about this in the past, and there are, it's unvetted, so who knows what's out there. And should your kids watch YouTube without supervision? No. Have my kids? Yes. I have become lazy with that, truly. Mm-hmm. So the other day, my six-year-old was upstairs watching, you know, some, I can't even think of the annoying show's name, but, you know, a very kid-appropriate show, whatever. And so he was like, he can use the remote now, which is helpful. And scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the YouTube thing came on, and he was finding his little, you know,
episode,
Lego episode or whatever it was. And on the bottom where it says like coming up next, whatever, was some inappropriate picture. It was not porn. It was not, thank God, it was not anything that would have been like scarring or anything like that. But it was not appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not
what you would want.
It was just not appropriate. And it was just a very good reminder for me as a mom to be like, you know what? And like, you know, I took the remote. I tried to stay calm. I said, you know, we just have to be really careful, because I don't like what I just saw. And we need to be really careful what our eyes see. And you know how we've talked about, there's some good pictures out there and bad pictures out there. And I just want to be more careful about what we're watching.
Mm-hmm. But that's such a healthy way to say
which
that.
Which is a healthy way to have the conversation. Of course, in my head, I was like, what is that? Oh my gosh. You know, it was like some woman wearing a, you know, with a huge bust, wearing mm-hmm. a super tight shirt mm-hmm. and like having candy yellow, whatever. It was like, what is that? How did I get here? But it was a reminder for me, you know, like we have all these rules. And of course, my oldest like never watched anything unsupervised. I loosened up, you know, and I just kind of got lazy and said, yes, you go upstairs and watch, you know, TV upstairs. Your siblings are downstairs while I'm getting snacks, whatever. And it was just a reminder to me of like, you know, we need to be careful, and an opportunity, use these things as opportunities to voice, let them hear your voice of like, oh, you know what? We need to be really careful about what our eyes see. It's my job to do that. I'm, you know, I take the blame, mm-hmm. not what you did. That was mommy's fault. And just it's a very scary world out there, but to not let that stop you from using it as opportunities to have healthy, age-appropriate conversations.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Another fear.
Another fear is a lot of times we'll hear them say, I'm afraid that someone else will tell them. That's a question we get when we ask, you know, what are you afraid of? Well, one of the things I'm afraid on this topic is that someone else will tell them. And basically, that's the whole reason we're here, is because we really want parents to be the ones to tell them. And so that's one of those things that it's like, well, then guess who gets to? You can take the reins and you can take charge of this topic. And that's what we're really here to equip you to do, to be the one to tell them. You may not feel equipped, but that's where we hope to get you. So the fear that someone else will tell them is basically why we're here. So you can put that one away pretty quickly.
Yeah, we'll help you on that.
Yeah, exactly. And another fear that we hear almost every time we speak, when we were speaking pre-COVID, was I'm just afraid they're going to ask me about my past. I just don't really want to tell my story to my kids, or I'm afraid they're going to ask me something and I don't want to share it with them.
Or what I'm explaining to my kids is not necessarily what I did.
Yes.
And so they feel like, well, I can't say that because that's not true. That's not what I know. Mary Flo touched on this earlier, and I think it's so wise, is that this is no longer about you and your past. This is about them and their future. And those are two separate things. So I think we can get things muddled a little bit and think, oh, well, I did this and I don't want my kids to, or I want to talk about this later with them or whatever. I think it's important to remember these are two separate conversations, two separate topics. And when our kids are young and we are talking about conversations that happen with our young kids, 10 and under, they are not going to ask about your past.
Right. That's really not going to come up until the preteen years. Once they go through puberty and once they're actually, their sexuality is kind of dawning on them and they're seeing themselves in certain situations, or they start to become attracted to another person, then that's when they wonder, well, I wonder how you handled all of this. And that's when they may ask you about your past. And, you know, we want to give you the freedom to handle that however you would like to. We will say, though, that there is a difference between thinking something is a secret and keeping other things private. Like, you do not have to expose your whole past to your children. No. You don't even have to talk about your present with, you know, the sex life you're enjoying with your spouse. You don't have to tell them any of the things that have to do with you. You're really
maybe
there.
You shouldn't.
Yes. No. I think too much information there.
Yes.
So you can learn from your past and you can share things that you would like to advise them about. You don't have to tell them about your past in order to give them instruction for their future. I think you can have learned a lot of things, and you can share things that, if you want to share the struggles you had or you want to share certain things, that's fine too. Use what you think will be helpful for your children, but you don't have to worry when they're little that this is going to become an immediate topic. Basically, you're talking about biology, your values, boundaries, bodies, babies. So this is not going to come up when they're little.
Right. And don't let that stop you, because really it won't come up. If it does, it's not appropriate to talk about when they're young anyways. So you would kind of avoid the question if somehow a very young child did ask that question. That's not
a typical question of a child at that age.
No.
And it's fine to say, you know what, that's private. That's part of my, we all have things that are private, and that's private to
and
me.
And I think that sometimes kids can ask personal questions if you explain something and they start to connect the dots of like, so you and dad, and you've done it 3 times, and you know, like all these kind of moments. And that's where I feel like it's okay to draw the line to say that's private information. I'm more than happy to share facts and information, but there is a line that that's a very private conversation that is
right.
Between us, and that's not something we share. That's not information we share
with anyone.
Yes. Okay. And then final fear that we're going to talk about today is, I am so afraid that this is going to be an awkward conversation. And we really can't help you there, because it might be. Just kidding.
You can kind of count on that.
Yeah. Just get ready. Put your big girl panties on. Just kidding. It might be an awkward conversation. And that is something that we are going to just kind of have to power through as parents. The more often you have these conversations, the more confident you'll become, the more comfortable you'll become. And we kind of joke, but I think it's true, is fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your kid asked you a question, and you know, we love that line, great question, so glad you asked, you might be in your heart thinking, oh my gosh, where in the world did he hear that word? You're like, panic. But fake it till you make it. God, I am so glad you came to talk to me. You know, I know a lot of information, and you came to the right spot. You know, I know a lot. So if you are panicking, or you are awkward, or you are stumbling over your words, fake it till you make it. This is not going to be super easy breezy for all of us. When I've had some of these conversations with my own daughter, stumbled and fumbled and thought, why am I freaking out? This is what I tell parents to do all the time. But when it's your own kid and your own situation, it is awkward. It can be uncomfortable. But don't let that stop you.
And don't think that that is not how everyone feels. Like,
yes.
You think, no, I'm just not good at that. Well, nobody is. Actually, we weren't, as parents, Dave and I fumbled the ball a lot. But honestly, that's not what they're thinking about. They're not thinking, oh, mom's not doing this well. They're just getting the information that they need. One time, there was a dad, and he came up to me after an event and said, and he was like very macho, kind of marine looking. And he said, I have three daughters, and there is so much information I want them to have, but there is no way I can talk to them. Like, this is not going to happen. I just already know, no matter what you say, I just don't think I can do that. And I said, well, actually, you can, but you just have to find the right way to communicate with them. And there was, because he was in a community that I was aware of, I got to run into him again. I said, did you ever figure out how you could talk to your girls? Because he was also saying, I feel badly because I'm leaving this up, totally up to my wife. And he said, you know what I did? I can write to them. I bought each of them, each girl, I bought a little box, and I put their name on it. And he said, I don't look it, but I'm kind of crafty. And he said, I put letters in there every once in a while to them. So for the person that doesn't think they can talk to their kids, find other ways to talk. Sometimes it's best if it's at night and their head's on the pillow and it's you're talking to them and maybe you're across the room, but you're not face to face. Some of these conversations, the awkwardness goes away when you find a way to do this maybe shoulder to shoulder on a walk while you're folding clothes together. You know, when you're not just looking at them across the table, eyeball to eyeball, that is truly awkward no matter who you are. But if you'll find a way to communicate with that you're more comfortable with, that might be in a car when they're in the back seat, you know, just some way that you can communicate that kind of removes that awkward feeling.
And that, I think those are all great ideas. And I think that it's going to look different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one spouse might be comfortable having the conversations, one spouse might not. And so they follow up every once in a while, like, hey, heard you and mom had a good chat today. I love you. You know, I laugh at the story of the dad making those boxes just because, and that is so dear, but like my dad would never have done that. Like never. And he is amazing and wonderful and very involved in my life. And we're very close, all these things, but I don't want someone to hear that and think, okay, honey, you have to make boxes and write notes
right
to the girls. And it's like, no, find your own thing.
Exactly.
And again, that might just be a verbal affirmation. Like, hey, heard you had a good chat.
Love you.
I'm not going to talk to you about periods, but I love you. You know, like just to find a way to what works for you. And again, this might be awkward. This might feel awkward at first, but the more conversations you have, the more times you use these vocabulary words, the more you engage on this topic, the less awkward it will become.
Mm-hmm.
And finding ways to communicate shoulder to shoulder, maybe written notes, conversations in the car, you know, everyone's going to find their own rhythm. And that is going to look different for every family. That'll look different between spouses, between children and their type of listening or verbal skills. So there is no right or wrong way to have these conversations. But do not let being afraid of being awkward. Yeah, don't let that stop you. So I'm pretty sure we've covered most of our fears. So now you have no reason to be afraid anymore.
Banish those fears.
Exactly. Okay, well, hope this kicked fear in the rear. And we're excited to hear from you. So if you have more questions or podcast topics, let us know.